The Bert Show.
I'm not sure this is going to fall under this category or not, but I do know this, that I had very strong opinions about life when I was a certain age. And then as you start to get a little bit, I mean really strong, like I will die on this hill. And then as you get a little bit older, you know, you're like, I can't believe I ever thought that. Is that where you are with kids right now?
Well, I think in your 20s, this is the age of life where you are laying down the foundation and the bricks for what you will become. Hopefully, you know, if you have the opportunity to age and get older in your 30s and 40s and 50s. And you're also coming out of a stage of life, which are your childhood years, where I feel like your opinions aren't really held with a lot of weight. And so I think when you get to your 20s and you're building your life, there's a strong sense of wanting to not dig your heels in, but you want to form a strong identity that says my opinions matter.
Yeah, I realized back in my 20s that I was having strong opinions about things I had no idea about, like parenting, for instance. I was like so like this way about the way other people were parenting and their usage of electronics with their kids in a restaurant. Then I had kids and I'm like, that was stupid. Every now and then you just need a break.
I am certainly not the one to give out parenting advice. I'm just impressed that y'all have the capacity to do that, because I think that's one of the reasons I've been so keen on being open about not really wanting kids or not craving kids or craving the idea of kids, because I do think I'm just a realist. Mm-hmm. And I understand that while having children is such a beautiful part of life, and there are so many amazing moments that come from it, I also am very real about the fact that I know that 90% of the time it's going to be a butt kicking. At least for the first 18 years.
I think I felt the same way, and that's why I was so, like, back in the day, there was one thing that, oh my God, that's almost inhumane, when parents had their kids on a leash in the airport. And now,
doing some Burst Big Adventure stuff, I'm like, you know what? A leash would be really helpful. We got some runners here. And so I've been thinking about this a lot as I'm approaching 30 and your opportunity for the choice to have kids is starting to dwindle a little bit just because of, you know, biology.
Yeah, I think some people, I don't know why they forget or neglect to acknowledge that women are on a clock. There is a biological clock. Dudes, you all can do whatever for however. If you want to have a kid at 90, you could do so. But for women, our fertility is limited. And at a certain point, you either got to S or get off the pot.
Uh-huh. And these are conversations I'm having with my friends who are in a similar stage of life, like career oriented, late 20s, early 30s. And they're like, do I freeze my eggs? Do I do that? And I'm like, this is a lot. I'm just going to not think about it and just pretend that that's not an issue I'm going to have to face. Because I don't want kids. Blah, 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 blah. But I did something pretty radical. This last time around, I re-downloaded the dating apps. And I decided to make my profile as polarizing as possible in order to just weed out all the losers. But one of the things that I had really avoided putting on my profile as a way to try and be as open as possible is I left off the option that you can choose that says whether or not you want kids or not. You can put that on your Bumble profile or your Hinge profile and say, I want kids, or I'm not sure if I want kids. And for a while, I was like, I'm just going to leave that off. That's a tough conversation that I want to push down the road. And I decided to put that on my profile just to let guys know that it's kind of like, if this is something you are 100% want for sure, probably not your gal. But when you put something that polarizing out on your profile, you really have to feel like you can stand on business and articulate why you have these feelings. And so I was kind of sitting with myself and like, do I really feel that way? Like, why does everybody want this thing that doesn't seem appealing to me? Why does everyone else seem naturally drawn to babies and wanting kids and wanting a family? Like, why is that not appealing to me? And it wasn't until I came across a TikTok on my For You page, because this is just, you know, it's where we get all of our education from. And there was this clip from the Diary of a CEO podcast, and he was interviewing a guy named Simon Sinek.
Oh God, I've listened to this one. And if you're not listening to this podcast, it's, I think, the best on the internet. It's by Stephen Bartlett.
Yes.
And this guy, Simon, is as wise as it gets. And he's a scientist, too.
Yeah. So the scientist is affirming a lot of the feelings I've had about having kids. And he put into words something I think a lot of women who are in the same boat as me have had a hard time articulating, where maybe it's not that I'm not craving children, but I'm craving something else more.
Do you want to be a dad? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
I care more about the partnership than the kids.
Like, I want to fall in love with somebody so much that we choose to have that lifestyle, because it's a huge lifestyle change.
Yeah.
So do I crave having children? No, I crave having a partnership. And I couldn't even conceive of having a child without somebody who I want to have a child with.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's pretty basic,
it,
right?
No, it seems obvious, but a lot of women in my boat, they think more about having kids, and they see almost the partnership as a means to an end to get there, especially as you're approaching 30. Like, I don't think a lot of people consider the fact that you should have such a strong strong foundation with the person you choose, mm-hmm. that you should choose to have kids as an overflow of the love that you guys have for each other.
And see, and I love what he said. But yeah, as far as like that, that's obvious. There's so many women, and I know my mom was one of those. Like, she knew at a very young age, like that she wanted to grow up and be a mom. Like, she just wanted to be a mom. Like, she wanted to have kids. And I've had other women in my life that it wasn't about finding a partner and creating that life. It was like, I don't care who I'm doing it with, I'm having kids. Mm. Kids are my future. That is my destiny. My destiny is to be a mom.
And I think there is a gender difference here, as Simon pointed out also, that I think as a general rule, dudes are looking for a partnership first. And a lot of them are like, if we have kids, that's great.
You would be surprised how many guys are like dead set on having kids.
And they would pick a lesser partner because kids are more important to them?
That has been my experience.
Really? Okay.
And also, I think how many women don't want kids or aren't searching for it, but it just feels taboo to say that. But I was definitely, I didn't not want kids. I just didn't want them. Does that make sense? Like, I wasn't actively like, I'm going to have kids, but I wasn't like, I'm never going to have kids. And then I met Chad and he brought it up and I was like, I love him. This is something I want to do. I want to grow a family with this man. So I think it's really cool that you're open-minded. Maybe it'll change when you meet the right person. Maybe it won't. But I do think there is a lesson to be said for women and men. Like, if you don't want kids, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you can still have a rich, fulfilling life without kids. But if you are the kind of person who's like, I've wanted kids since I was like young, like I hated playing house. I hated babysitting. Ugh, I didn't understand why you wanted a baby doll that you had to feed. But my friends were like that. And I'm like, and they're fantastic moms. And that's okay too. And I think we're in this, like, the situation where there's such a stigma around saying you don't want kids, and people with kids take that as an insult. And it's not. It's okay for people to have different lives.
I think because of the way that I grew up in the house that I grew up in, where it was just so dismissive when it came to kids, that when I grew up, it was never a priority for me. It was just like, in fact, it almost felt like, it felt confining. And man, once I feel confined, I'm in a really, really, really bad spot. So I was like, you know what? If we have them, okay. If we don't, okay. but now looking back, I can't believe I felt that way, because my life is so much more enriched because of my kids.
And see, and what's so funny is I grew up in the opposite environment as you. And Cassie, I grew up loving playing house, having baby dolls, babysitting. But in my 20s, I didn't think I wanted kids.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if I wanted kids. And it literally took, you know, I used to talk about this on air. And then people ended up coming after me and said, I thought you said you were never having kids. And I'm like, whoa.
Right.
Whoa. One, let's normalize people changing their minds. And two, I never said I don't ever recall saying I don't want kids. I do remember saying I don't want kids right now, for sure.
Do you think, let me ask you a loaded question here, and I don't have an opinion one way or the other, but I'm interested in your answer. Do you think, what percentage of women in their 20s do you think are truly equipped to have kids?
Oh, man. That is a loaded question.
Can you ever really be equipped for something you have no experience in?
Like, I was in my 40s and I wasn't equipped.
I'm just about to say, like, there are a lot of girls. Like, my cousin is 25, or she might be 26 now, and she's having a kid. And I'm like, oh my God, like, girl, you should be in the club.
put an answer on it.
Here's the thing. It's a trade-off, because, like, in your 20s, you have the energy.
Yeah.
In your 40s, you tend to have more of the financial means, mm-hmm. right? And more life experience. And those are two different types of moms, but they're still two beneficial and good types of moms. But if, like, for myself, was I equipped in my 20s to have a kid? Absolutely not.
It's such a cruel joke by Mother Nature, because in your 20s, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's when you're most fertile. That's probably when you want to have kids. And I wonder if emotionally, physically, mentally, that's the best time. Probably not.
I think you got to look at not physical age, but mental age is what I would go with. And I think your mental age needs to be like 38 or older, because you have to be willing to work on yourself, because that's the hardest part, is seeing the things you don't like about yourself pop up in your kids, like quirks or whatever. And you're like, great, I got to work through this on my own time in therapy so that I don't project onto them and I can help guide them. And I don't think in my 20s, I was mature enough to make those kinds of decisions. Now, I think 20-year-olds can raise kids just fine, and those kids will grow up to be great, healthy adults. Mm-hmm. But if I had to pick it over again, I would still have a kid later in life, just so I had more of the emotional foundation that I personally needed.
I think to answer your question, my final point is that I think to be equipped to be a good parent, I think the number one thing is, are you willing to step up and show love to this kid? Like, are you willing to show this kid that they were wanted and they are loved? Like, I know I just made a joke about my 26-year-old cousin having a kid, but like, that kid is going to be so loved and well taken care of. And sure, would things have been different 5 years down the line with more life experience and more financial means? But at the end of the day, like, they are so excited to raise this kid together that I know that kid is going to grow up to be a fantastic human.
Kristen, you and I could probably fall back to some of our really great friends, Molly and Joel, that just had a child, and they're not in their 20s, but they are going to be the most amazing parents ever. But knowing him and her back in their 20s, you know, him being a mascot and all, probably wasn't ready.
Are you kidding me? Mascots make the best dads. They're so much fun. And I mean, at any age, like, I wanted to have a kid in my 30s. I was trying to have a kid in my 30s. That just wasn't in the cards for me, because my ovaries and my eggs were like, but I honestly feel it doesn't matter what, it sincerely doesn't matter what age you are. It matters what your mindset is. And if you're in it to win it, then you're going to be a great parent. Bottom line.
Here is Haley. Haley, we only have a couple of seconds here, but I definitely want to get you on. What's up?
Hey, so I just wanted to let Abby know, I really relate to how she feels, because before I met my husband, I was the same way. I always was like, I don't think I even want kids. You know, I wasn't sure. And then once I met him and we got married, I just knew, like, that is what I wanted. And now that I have kids, it's the greatest thing. Like, you can't even describe how much you love them. So I think she should keep that option open.
That's beautiful. And thank you for sharing that with me, because I know everyone says you change your mind, and a lot of the change in your mind comes from finding the right person. So I think what I'm trying to say here is I'm open to the idea that I might change my mind, but I'm not making kids a priority.
It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Hi, Bert's Big Adventure needs your help with the most important thing right now, and that is finding families to go on Bert's Big Adventure 2026. We just opened the applications, and if you're new here, Bert's Big Adventure is the trip that we take down to Disney World every year with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. We have built this amazing community, over 20 years of these special needs families, and we go down to Disney World, man, and we do it right. We pay for everything, and when I say we, it's you guys listening, pay for everything, and we go VIP. With a private plane, red carpet, it's loud, it's a party for 5 days. But at the heart of it, obviously, is our families, right? We need to find some families.
And so here's just a couple of quick notes for you. So the child needs to be between the ages of 5 and 12. There needs to be a chronic or terminal illness. And this has to be their very first trip to Disney. Those were the three majors right there. And it's always so crazy to me, because there's families out there that are so deserving of this trip. Yet they look at themselves and they're like, nope, there's somebody out there that deserves it more. And they don't nominate themselves.
Yeah, we've had a family that had like 3 or 4 special needs kids that were all sick at the time also. And they said, yeah, no, there's definitely somebody worse than us. And I'm like, no, not really.
you overqualify. We want to take you,
yeah,
man.
No, you're right in the, yeah. Yeah. No, you should definitely go on this trip.
So if you are a teacher or a camp counselor, or you know somebody in your neighborhood, you're a neighbor, or there's somebody at your church, or maybe even your place of work that you think this is a family, that could really use this, that they could use this trip to Disney, this VIP trip to Disney. And they could also, they could really benefit from being a part of a community of other families that have children with special needs to help guide them and give them some assistance. So yes, we're looking for these families, but 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be the families that nominate themselves. So we need you to keep an eye out. If you think there's a family, again, a child between the ages of 5 and 12, they have a chronic or terminal illness, and they have never been to Disney, get those applications in, because we have to check with doctors and stuff like that. Like there's a protocol that we go through, but we need those applications now. That way we can just pick some really amazing kiddos and families for our 2026 trip.
And you can do that at BurtsBigAdventure.org. All right, today is follow-up Thursday. These are the days where you guys hit us up and you're like, hey, Bert, whatever happened to blank? And in this case, she was graduating and her mom, of course, wants to attend her graduation, but she wants to bring the man that she cheated on her dad with. So how did graduation go?
Oof. All right, so Tara's mom cheated on her dad and is now dating the guy that she had an affair with, which totally destroyed the family. Tara's graduation was coming up and she was faced with a dilemma. She only wanted to give her mom 3 tickets to her college graduation, for her mom and for her mom's parents, grandma and grandpa. She wanted to keep her mom's new boyfriend away from her big day, but she needed our help breaking the news to her mom via texting tutor, which we did. Instead of respecting that, mom went on the college parents Facebook page and she begged strangers for extra tickets, saying she desperately needed 4. Not only was the boyfriend coming, but she planned on bringing his 2 kids as well. So obviously Tara was frustrated. She was considering skipping her own graduation to avoid the whole situation. We told her to still go because she earned it, but to set boundaries with her mom and basically ignore the boyfriend completely. So did she take our advice and how did the graduation go?
So here's the update. It says, hi, Bert Shell. I made some big moves with your advice. Thank you, by the way. I don't think I would have had the courage to stand up to my mom if it wasn't for you guys helping me out. I truly believe my mom is a narcissist now. I don't have time to break down everything she's done to the family, but after this incident, I have clarity. And what do you do to a narcissist? You gray rock them. And I decided that I was going to give her absolutely nothing. So I didn't go to my own graduation and I didn't tell her.
What?
Instead, I hosted my own graduation party and had a beautiful lunch with the family members and friends I actually wanted to be there. Do I feel disappointed that my graduation ceremony was robbed for me? Honestly, no. I got my degree and I wasn't really that excited to sit through a bunch of names. Celebrating my accomplishment with the people I love was the perfect way to spend the day. And frankly, the people I invited were pretty excited to not have to go to the ceremony and didn't protest much when I let them know mom wasn't invited. And what's crazy is that my mom never even reached out to me to ask why I wasn't at my own graduation ceremony. She posted on Facebook about it.
Of course she did.
She literally posted a video of them calling my name, showing that I wasn't there. She added this paragraph long caption about feeling betrayed and that I'd become absent in her life. I guess she's giving me the cold shoulder. We haven't really communicated, even though my grandparents are encouraging me to reach out. I will one day, but right now I'm a little busy being a new grad and don't need any more added stress. Cheers, Tara.
The only way I would respond is go to our Facebook page and look how I talked about co-parenting yesterday for 10 minutes.
Oh, God.
It's the exact same thing here, man. Co-parent. All right, co-parent well. What a day that was ruined.
I know, I feel so heartbroken for her, but she doesn't seem mad, so no. I'm not mad.
The Bert Show.
There are a lot of crazy internet trends. Like, what was the one where you're eating the pod?
Oh, the Tide Pod Challenge?
Yeah, I'd rather do that than the one that Kristen's about to talk about.
You'd rather eat a Tide Pod than let your child plan your vacation?
100%.
Okay.
How many Tide Pods?
Just one. Just one. All right, so a recent survey of 2,000 parents with school-aged children revealed that over 20%, and I thought this number was high, 20% of these parents, 1 in 5, have allowed their child to plan an entire family vacation.
You must be out of your mind.
That's more lethal than eating a Tide Pod.
Right? So the majority of parents believe that involving their children in trip planning leads to more enjoyable experience.
Sure.
Which I can't. Yeah, that's a given. Children are often tasked with choosing activities, restaurants, to ensure that the vacation caters to their interests. And now the study, which was commissioned by Visit Anaheim for their Imagine Agency campaign,
Isn't that where Disneyland is?
I was about to say, I'm like, what? They're just pushing kids to start planning trips to Anaheim where they're like, what's the one thing to do in Anaheim? Disneyland.
Yeah, you're seeing through all of that. But that this I'm just letting you know this is who commissioned the... So you know where the stats are coming from. I think it's always so important. We always... Like, people and, you know, people will throw facts and polling numbers and stuff at you, right? And it's like, okay, but where did it come from and who conducted it? Well, now you know it was Visit Anaheim that conducted this, where Disneyland is. So... they found that 86% of kids want to play a more significant role in planning family trips. And so, of course, on the top of the kids list, meeting celebrities, amusement parks, but children have diverse ideas for their dream vacations, emphasizing the importance of incorporating their input. So my question for you is, would you let your kid from A to Z... From departure to arrival to back, would you let your child plan your vacation?
It'd be sort of like looking at me and asking to plan the entire show. Would I do a decent job? Sure. But you need a supervisor to make sure that you see through all the cracks and the things that you don't know what you don't know. So, for example, could a kid plan a trip to Anaheim? Sure. You go to Disneyland, you stay on property, you eat on property. But if you're asking for them to plan like a 10-day trip to Italy, that kid don't know what to do.
So this is such an easy answer for me based on experience, right? So Hollis loves, my youngest son loves to travel with me. So we've traveled to Europe. We've traveled to South America together. We've gone to Central America. Knows how to work his way through an airport. Knows exactly where to go and what he wants to do, right? So that we got that one. I took my son Hayden, who just graduated from college, for his senior trip in high school to Japan. He loves anime, right? So I'm like, whatever you want, man, you tell me and I'll plan it, because he's not a planner. So we did the anime neighborhoods in Japan, which was great. But when we arrived there, what he really wanted to do was go to Universal Studios Tokyo, which we went to, okay? Which would have been fine for one day. The first 3 days were at Universal Studios in Tokyo, and I've been to Universal Studios in Florida. It's the exact same park. So I went 22 hours door to door to go to Universal Studios in Tokyo. So one I would trust, the other one not so much.
So this is my homework assignment for the TBS members that have kids. So Bert, he's eight, and it's going to be fun because of the age differences of our kids. But I love for you to ask Hollis, all right, you're in charge of planning a family vacation. We're gone for a week. What are we doing? Where are we going? Where are we staying? How are we getting there? Where are we, like, just have him kind of give you whatever. And then Kaylee, you have your three kids. I would love you to ask your oldest, Kai, what would be his dream vacation. He plans the family vacation for you. Oh, so where are you guys going? Where are you staying? How are you getting there? All that fun stuff.
Okay.
And how old is Kai again?
He is 12.
12. Perfect. All right, Cassie, I would love for you to ask your five-year-old. See, we're going 18, 12, now we're to 5. And you also, too, if you wanted to ask Max or Kiki, you can ask them where they would like to go as well. Cassie, I would love for you to ask your five-year-old Hazel where you guys are going on vacation.
Oh, my God, I can't wait for this.
And then I will be asking my four-year-old Jimmy, all right, we're going on vacation, Jimmy, but we don't know where we're going, we don't know what we're doing, and we don't know how we're getting there. And I'm going to see what he has to say.
Okay, I'm only asking these questions because Hollis will knock this thing out in 5 minutes.
I think so.
Hayden is going to have more questions.
Really?
So I have to ask you before he asks me.
He's not included in this, though, because he's no longer a school-age kid.
Oh, well, either is Hollis. Well, I guess Hollis going to college.
Well, I'm just including him because, like, he just graduated high school.
Okay.
So we're saying, like, when we're talking about school-age kids, we're talking about, like, technically, like, 18 and younger.
Okay.
But, dude, for us and giggles, if you want to ask Hayden, okay, by all means.
All right, so he's going to ask this. When, okay, I'm talking about a family vacation, is he talking about, are we talking about me, Hollis, and Hayden? Is Amanda and Asa going also?
He's got to decide.
He's got to decide everything.
Yes.
Okay, great.
You decide who's going. You decide where you're going. All you decide how you're getting there. You decide where you're staying. Oh, you decide what you're doing.
This is going to stress him out so much.
I don't need links to the hotel,
dude,
man.
You don't know. He's going to be so stressed out by this.
I don't want to be left out. I want to play too. So Kristen, the dog you gave Renee and I, Coco, I'm going to lay out a map, and wherever Coco peeps, poops or pees, that's where we're going.
Deal. Then there you go. She can play too.
Get there however you have to. All right. So we have to bring these in tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow at this time. We will check in and see where our kids have us going for our summer family vacation.
I am pretty sure I'm going back to Universal in Tokyo.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
After reading the story from Kristen Cavallari's most recent podcast tour, I kind of understand the hesitation men might have when they go out with me when they find out I have both a podcast and I'm on a radio show. Because
she spills all the tea.
Well, this time around, she didn't even spill the tea. Her friend who was hosting the show with her actually spilled some pretty grade A hot gossip about one of the biggest movie stars of today and an encounter that they had while they were in Greece. So she is currently on tour. It's called Honestly Cavallari, the headline tour. And she was hosting it with her longtime BFF and hairstylist, Justin Anderson. And he quote unquote casually let it slip in front of a live audience that she once hooked up with Top Gun Maverick star Glenn Powell.
No way.
Isn't that crazy?
That's huge.
It's huge. Glenn Powell is like the white boy of the year right now.
All right, so here, I'm torn here because don't get me wrong, I love this hot goss, right?
Uh-huh.
But I feel like when you are in the celebrity realm and in the celebrity world, like Kristen Cavallari is, right? I know it started with reality TV, but she is a celebrity well within her own right. I feel like when you are part of that world, mm-hmm. it's an untold, unsaid understanding that what happens behind closed doors stays behind closed doors. Otherwise, and it's not like you're narking. Oh, see, now I'm sitting on the fence and my butt's getting sore because you have a story. You should be allowed to tell your story, right?
Uh-huh.
But in some instances, it feels like you're telling your story. And then in other instances, it just feels like you're ratting out the celebrity that you hooked up with.
Well, it's not even her telling the story.
I know.
That's what I think is really upsetting here. Because at the end, she goes, okay, I have to go on the record. When this comes out, I had nothing to do with it. Because Justin's the one that spilled the tea. So it's not his story to tell. He's like, this is going to be good for ratings. And she's like, wait a second, that wasn't supposed to come out.
Okay, let's take this one off the table.
Okay.
She came out and told everybody she made out with Morgan Wallen.
Oh, she did do that.
So that's so let's use that instance.
Okay.
Do you have an obligation if you are in the celebrity world? Like if you're going to make out with celebrities, should you have to keep that private?
Well, I think you know what you're getting into with her. If she's going to be somebody that shares those stories and you just don't date her, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there should be some kind of unsaid rule that, hey, man, I mean, we're in this world together, so let's just shut up. But her career now is talking about tea. It's not being on a reality TV show as much anymore.
The other example was John Mayer when he talked about what Jessica Simpson was like in bed.
And he got blown up for that.
He did. So, I don't know.
I get it. It's to an extent. I mean, do I think Morgan Wallen cares that she told the world that they made out?
No.
I don't think. I think he is somewhere off doing something else. You know what I mean? Like, but I think with the Glenn Powell situation, they do go into a little bit more intimate detail that I will not say on the air because I know we might have kids listening. But if I'm him, I'm a little upset and then I'm moving on because I know I have another movie shoot.
Yeah. And the bigger celebrities don't need this. So they're not going to share. They don't. But her career now is this. It's a podcast. It's tea. So she's the lesser of the celebrities, right? Mm-hmm.
She needs it more than Glenn Powell does.
Right.
So anyway, I saw that she was in Greece, bumped into Glenn Powell, and I immediately got more excited for my trip in September. So thank you, Kristen Cavallari, for that little hot goss.
So that's where like the romantic boop, beep, boop, boop, went down. It was in Greece.
It was in Greece. He literally bumped into her. That's what she said, that they bumped into each other, like, physically, and he was like, hey. She was like, hey. And then they were like, hey.
Look at me saying, this is wrong to out him, and I'm over here like, where were they meeting?
Okay, there's a list that just came out that I love. I love seeing the girlies win, and it's a list of America's richest self-made female celebrities. And some of these are not surprising, but I always just forget how rich some of these people are. Like in the 100th place spot, Serena Williams, $350 million, absolutely crushing it.
In the 100th
spot? $350 million.
In the 100th spot?
Oh, in the 100th spot, like on the list.
What?
So we're going up.
So she's not even the richest on the list. It only gets bigger from here. So she is has a net worth of $350 million. Reese Witherspoon, $440 million. Celine Dion, $570 million. Judge Judy, $580 million.
Yep.
Selena Gomez, $700 million. Beyonce, $780 million. Madonna, $850 million. Now we're in the billionaires. Rihanna, $1 billion. Taylor Swift, $1.6 billion. Kim Kardashian, $1.7 billion. And in the top spot in terms of celebrities, she is 13th on the list. Oprah Winfrey with $3.1 billion. Yeah. I always forget how rich Oprah is. Like, I, in my mind, I'm like, she's a billionaire. I didn't realize she was a multi-billionaire.
So this is all celebrities, but there's more women now on this list than before?
Yeah, but they're just like random rich people. They're they're the quiet luxury rich people.
Oh, so it's all women, but those were the big name celebrity women.
The celebrity women to look out for.
I think when we're talking about these numbers, they're so mind-boggling to me, but you hear them so often now in athletic contracts and with celebrities, that you can't wrap your head around that kind of money. Nobody on your family tree ever, ever will ever have to work if you want to share it. Ever. And we can be talking about 15, 20 generations.
Every day I'm upset that I was not born into a billionaire family. I should be on a yacht right now. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Here's your kid warning because I'm about to say something inappropriate.
Please do.
My 4-year-old son told the babysitter I have a hairy penis.
Stop.
I am shooketh.
I'm not surprised.
He said that you had a hairy penis?
I am shooketh. There are very few times that I am speechless. I did not see that coming.
Jimmy told our babysitter, I have a hairy penis.
Okay. What's the origin story here?
Well, okay, so I wanted to do yoga yesterday, but Bart had to work on the condo, so we hit up our babysitter, whom we adore, and she came over and hung out with Jimmy Jam. That's his nickname, and that's what she loves calling him, Jimmy Jam. And so he is at this beautiful little precocious age, and the stuff that he says, non-intentionally, it's just hilarious. It's hilarious what they say and do. We walked into a friend's house yesterday, and he's like, wow, their house sure is looking nice.
4 years
that
old.
That is so cute.
Right? It's little things like that that are just so freaking comical. So, you know, I come in, they're in the playroom, and they're having their monster truck show, because, you know, I took them to Monster Jam, and so now he likes to put on monster truck shows for everybody, right? Because he's got a bunch of monster trucks. So he's in there with her, and they're doing a monster truck show, and she gives me this look, and she's like, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe what Jimmy said to me. And she was trying to tell me quietly, because I guess she didn't want him to repeat it, but she's like, yeah, so Jimmy told me that you have a hairy penis. And I just now I'm standing in the playroom with the babysitter, and she has now whispered that phrase to me. And I look at Jimmy, and I go, Jimmy, did you tell the babysitter I have a hairy penis? And he goes, ha, 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 Mama has a hairy penis. And so now I'm just like, what is happening in my life right now? And my instinct was to look at her and go, I get waxed. Like, WTF. Now, granted, when you get waxed, in between waxing, there has to be a certain amount of hair growth before you can go back and get waxed. And I am due for a wax. And you also have to take into account that my 4-year-old and I still take showers together, right? So, you know, he's in there with me, and he'll have questions sometimes. And I have told him before that, you know, the difference between a penis and vagina and who has which one, right? And so, because we went through a phase where he used to tell everybody he has a tiny penis, but Dada has a big penis. So now I'm like, and so I had to explain to him, and I'm just using all layman terms at this point, right? I'm just, and I'm like, Jimmy, remember, mama doesn't have a penis. Mama has a vagina. And then he's like, ha ha, mama has a hairy vagina. I'm like, what is my world right now? And I just looked at Sneha, and she is just like doubled over. And I just, let's just say I tipped her a little extra for that afternoon's babysitting.
That's definitely your kid, man.
Oh, for sure.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.